record here.
Set this.
Fantastic.
Got to practice new rules here. Put the mask on. I'm not drinking.
We're recording. You're good.
Fantastic. Me mask up here.
That only applied to Division 7. I mean,
we're not clear on that. Okay, I got to make sure I got all these waters here. I don't want to knock them over. Okay, we will call the City Council meeting for Tuesday, August 25th, 2020 to order, and we always start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So I must say, before we go on with the roll call, and is Seaver attending remotely? Yes. Couple things. Thank you, Seaver. Two things. One is, we are allowing this Zoom meeting for those who want to participate. Right now, one council member, because the governor has declared a state of emergency, and this is allowed, but I do need to declare that. And we do have to remember, all votes are by roll call. But I will say, we have 7 of the 8 here. Thank you. This is the most we've had since March, and I know they miss me so much. So, thank you, and welcome to all you waiting out there. I like to talk a lot, so it might be more than a minute or two, but that's my prerogative, I always tell them. So, anyway, now, could we have the roll call, please?
Coe?
Here.
Transier?
Here.
Vilshewski?
Here.
Closer?
Here.
Buckhauser?
Here.
Readers?
Yes.
Terulis?
Terulis. Here. Peterson?
Yes.
We have a form.
Excellent. I gotta find my pen. So this has nothing to do with the meeting. Did your son dig this up? I'm looking at you, Jackie, yes. Because he's a city historian. I was very skinny back then, probably 160 pounds. It was my senior year, the class clown. Picture of me. What's that? Yeah, I wanted to just appear. It wasn't here earlier. So I was in that high school over there. Okay, so we have a quorum. Do we have any amendments to the agenda? Seeing none, we'll move on to presentations. Now we have a couple outstanding presentations today. Gotta make sure I have them in order. Let's see. Excellent. Okay, so the first one is for the Yorkville Foxes softball team. And now who's coming forward here? Okay, you can all come forward if you want. I can't count while it's less than 20. Okay, this is what, 6th grade through 8th grade girls team?
Yeah, 12U.
12U, is that what it is?
Yep.
And if you want to come forward, do you want to get the pictures too? Do you coach us?
Yeah, my assistants.
Yeah, assistants. So, and I don't remember your name, none of them.
Stephanie Tim?
Mike.
Okay, yeah, I recognize you, but without the masks and stuff, that's normal. So they were in a tournament in Nashville, Tennessee in July. It was a Monday through a Sunday, correct?
Yep.
See, I did my research about 10 minutes ago. And they played 13 games, and they took second place. And here's the dangerous thing of all. The team who won was the number one rated team in Tennessee, and they beat them early in the tournament. So it was just, they had the games reversed, so they were as good as any team there. So I will present this to you. The mayor and city council of the United City of York will present this certificate to Yorkville Foxes girls softball team for placing second in the national tournament in recognition of your hard work and for your dedication and commitment to the sport of softball. Also, in recognition of your athleticism, team spirit, and outstanding sportsmanship, congratulations and great job. August 25th, 2020. Congratulations. Thank you very much.
Thank you
very much. Appreciate it.
Enjoy your evening.
Thank you very much. Okay, next. This is great. We haven't had a meeting like this in ages, and we get to do good stuff. Next on the agenda, we have some excellent stuff, too. Is Bear leaving?
No, he's going to go get guests.
Oh, okay. And I'm turning this over to our chief, Jensen, for recognition of Detective Matt Nelson, Officer Jeff Johnson, and Officer Ryan Goldsmith. They got some outstanding nominations and awards for Officers of the Year, Detectives of the Year. And Jim's going to tell us more about that because, honestly, he knows the details.
So we invited their families here. We didn't invite the rest of the police department. We had the Respect for Law banquet. Couldn't have families because we had to obviously keep distances. So this is the first time their families have gotten to see this.
Oh my gosh, there we go. I like that. A future cop there. So where are you doing that? You doing that back here, up here, whatever?
We're going to kind of separate it. That way we're apart.
Is that a Red Sox fan back there? That's awesome. I've never been to Fenway. I walked by it once, but never been there.
Awesome park.
I hear the beer is like $20 or something.
That's everywhere you go nowadays.
Well, maybe not now because you can't go to a game. Oh my gosh, geez, this stuff. That's like, is that sanitizer?
Yeah, it is.
It's
like sticky. Yeah.
Okay, who's first? Where'd Jim go?
Right.
Oh, geez, I don't recognize it.
So we're trying to separate, so I'm going to go ahead and get started. So this past month, we had our Penn County Respect for Law banquet. It was scheduled originally for March, April. We pushed it way, way back because of COVID-19. We had several officers nominated for different awards. So the three of us, Ray Bear and I, are going to talk about each one very quickly. So I have Officer Ryan Goldsmith. He's our high school resource officer at the Yorkville High School. He was nominated for Officer of the Year for his work in the high school, building relationships with the kids, the programs, the staff. I've been in law enforcement for 30 years. I was an SRO for 6 to 7 years. And I have to say, he blows everyone away. The relationships he's built with the kids over there, the relationships he's built with the staff, the programming that he's done with the school and trying to build that relationship with the school has really been instrumental for us this past year. And without Brian, we wouldn't be able to do that. So I want to congratulate Brian for his nomination of Officer of the Year. Unfortunately, Brian didn't get the award, but in my mind, he just did a tremendous job, so we wanted to recognize here today in front of you guys and see if you guys can see. So.
I'd like to recognize Officer Jeff Johnson. During the Respect for Law banquet, he received a life-saving award. Last year, 2019, he was dispatched to the area of 2700 block of North Bridge Street for a suicidal subject. He did not have an exact location. He was able to locate the subject, who had a significant wound to his neck and had a knife nearby. Officer Johnson was able to remove the knife from the area and assist the person in first aid to help save their life. So he did an outstanding job and was recognized for it in Respect for Law. So that's a great thing. Jeff's been with us 18 years now, and recently we needed an officer in charge on a patrol ship at midnight, and he went from his day shift assignment, and he stepped up for us, and he is now officer in charge on one of our midnight shifts, and so we really had a void, needed some veteran leadership, and he stepped in, he's doing an outstanding job, so we're glad to have him, and he's doing a great job. So.
I have the pleasure of introducing Detective Nelson. Matt Nelson's been with us since 2012. He brought his beautiful family up here. How many of the boys are you up here right now?
Two.
Two of the three. The third's back there. So Matt was awarded Investigator of the Year at a Respect for Law banquet. And I brought a cheat sheet just to encompass three of the cases, and this is just three of the many, that highlight incident investigations. First one I want to cover, he was assigned to in December of 2019. He was assigned 5 criminal sexual abuse cases. All of these contained different juvenile victims and that had been sexually abused by a relative. The span of this case happened between 2005 and 2018, but it wasn't reported to us until December. Detective Nelson was able to obtain a confession from the suspect, and he was able to get a 35-count indictment against the suspect for charges including predatory criminal sexual abuse and all of those being felonies. The next case for Detective Nelson. In July of 2019, he had an internet-based child pornography investigation. He was able to obtain a confession from the suspect, and he was able to get 21 felony charges for possession of child pornography and dissemination. And the last case highlighted his year was a residential burglary in which $30,000 cash and a pistol were stolen from Yorkville residents. During his investigation, Colorado State Police were able to arrest the offender and find $18,000 cash and a firearm. Charges were then approved. So, great job, Matt. We'll have your captain.
Jim, we can do pictures?
We can do it if you want to, or we can do it later.
No, we'll do it now. They're all here with their families. But right. I want to say a couple of things. You're not all off the table yet. But so a couple of things, and some of these I might have to verify a later date. But so Goldsmith, I tell you what, I'm going to say you take the best, those kids here, darn pictures when you're at different events. I can tell you what, you just... outstanding pictures, and I hear that all the time, what an outstanding job you do, so I appreciate it. And Johnson, now everything I think about whenever I hear your name, JJ, one of these times I'm going to call and ask for JJ and I'm going to talk to you and you can be the chief for a day. You like that idea? And you've been here 18 years. That's amazing. That's fantastic. And Nelson, I heard a story, and I don't know if this is true or not, and I won't repeat it in detail, but I want to know later, but you'll know where I'm going with this. I was told when you were offered the job, they asked you if you were doing something or other, and you said, well, yes, I am right now. Do you remember that enough? I'll talk to you later about that. So now you're going to think, what's the mayor got on me? So, anyway, congratulations, y'all. What I love about this is the things you're doing. You're dealing with criminals, and you're putting them away. You're saving people's lives, which is fantastic. And you're dealing with kids every day. And we hear all the bad stuff going on now, but we don't hear about the good stuff. And the three of you did outstanding for the community and for the police department. I appreciate it very much. So thank you very much, and let's get photos. Fantastic. Now, see, that's fun. Okay, the next thing we have, public hearings. Are there any public hearings? No public hearings. Are there any citizen comments on the agenda? If there are, please step forward. You know the routine, please.
First thing I'll address is change the public comment. It's long overdue. into these meetings. I wanted to discuss something with you or help bring something to your attention, but it wasn't on the agenda. We've made the way to the end of the meeting, which seemed somewhat unfair, but if you wanted to speak to you guys, that's what we had to do. So I'm encouraged that you are going to make that change tonight and allow anybody that shows up to talk about whatever they want in the first public comments, and if they want, they can have another bite of the apple later on at the end of the meeting. Just the only thing I would say is don't make them wait until after executive session. If you want an executive session, take the public comments, then it's going to make them wait even longer. So the other thing I'd like to talk about is the settlement agreement with Green Organics. I've prepared comments. Part of the Green Organics facility has been annexed in the Westbury parcel. The remaining part remains an unincorporated Kendall County. How many acres remain in Kendall County? Kendall County special use permit for this yard-based facility expires on December 1st, 2023, and the county application renewal of that 10-year special use permit must be made by 7-1, July 1st, 2023. Under the proposed settlement agreement that is on tonight's agenda, the city portion of the yard waste facility is supposed to be decommissioned in 2023. There isn't an exact date, but it's supposed to be decommissioned then. So, has any discussion been had with Kendall County for decommissioning the county portion of this yard waste facility? If not, why not? This is something that should be coordinated if decommissioning this facility is a stated goal. The city and county need to be on the same page. I called the county health environmental department today, I called county planning, building, and zoning, and I called county administration. Nobody from the city that they knew of had any discussion with them regarding this, and the way I found about it was on the news this morning. Your rural residents in the north end of the town should be given a chance to speak to this facility's continued operation and how it actually affects them. I suggest you postpone this vote, do a first reading tonight, and allow additional input from area residents, Raging Waves, and the new business that just opened directly across from the Shark Waste facility. Please tell me if any discussions taking place with the county of Kendall regarding this facility and the decommissioning of this facility. And what is the plan, and is it a coordinated plan? Are yard waste and roll composting operations presently occurring on the city portion, or is it the city portion just a storage area for already composted slash finished material? There is no map in the packet to figure that out, nor the actual size and location of the roughly 14-acre area that is within the city of Yorkville and how it's presently being used. So I'm not exactly sure how big that site is when you combine the county part and the city part. Nearby area residents have complained year in and year out about the yard waste facility. I realize it's been located on this parcel for many years, but Yorkville has grown and more houses have been built. This facility has become more of a nuisance to area homeowners, and now two significant tax revenue generating businesses also occupy the adjacent area on the east side of Route 47. The wind's blowing in the right way, is it impossible to ignore the presence of this yard waste facility in the spring, summer, and early fall? It's something I noticed many times when my car windows were down, going to and from Sugar Grove. Nearby residents are unable to fully enjoy the property, do outdoor gatherings or barbecues. It is a real downer for visitors to Raging Waves Water Park, which generates a considerable amount of city revenue compared to the $1,000 to $2,000 of annual revenue in the settlement agreement's proposed tipping fees. 2023 does mean something, but does it actually mean the county will let their 10-year special use permit expire without it being renewed? Please show me the written documentation that you have negotiated a coordinated plan with the county of Kendall to phase this yard waste facility out so North Yorkville can undergo further developments. You've got sewer and water lines already laid in this area. Those infrastructure bond payments will continue to grow due to the escalating bond payment schedule. Do anyone want to develop and build in this area, Yorkville, while a yard waste operation is present and nearby? It would sure help existing Yorkville taxpayers in the city and water sewer units for the area got developed, more folks were using or making payments for the existing infrastructure that was laid 12 plus years ago. Thank you.
Any other comments from citizens? Are there any citizens? Are there any citizens out in Zoom land who would like to speak? Hearing none, we'll move on. Next, we have a consent agenda. We have minutes of the City Council meeting from August 11th of 20, and bill payments totaling $1,144,216.52. Is there a motion to approve?
So,
I don't know who. It was Peterson. Okay, I don't see your mouse moving at all. Good thing I'm not a lip reader. Milshewski, that, okay, that one was a little more clear. Okay. No discussion. Roll call, please.
Coe?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Cherulis?
Yeah.
Trampier?
Yes.
Closure?
Yes.
Breeders?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Very nice. Thank you all. Moving along, we have a mayor's report. Now, normally I usually have things to add, but right now I don't because we had some good fun stuff earlier. But I do have proclamation of National Overdose Awareness Day. And I will read this. I'm going to take this off for a second. Pardon me. Whereas the United City of Yorkville does affirm and acknowledge the harm and hardship caused by drug overdose, and whereas we recognize the purpose of International Overdose Awareness Day as remembering loved ones lost to overdose and ending the stigma of drug-related deaths, and whereas we resolve to play our part in reducing the toll of overdose in our community, which claims the lives of more than 2,722 Illinois residents in 2018, together with countless more affected forever, and whereas we affirm that the people affected by overdose are our sons and daughters, our mothers and fathers, our brothers and sisters, and deserving of our love, compassion, and support. Therefore, I, John Purcell, Mayor, do hereby proclaim August 31st, 2020, as Overdose Awareness Day in the United City of York. Thank you. That's amazing, though. 2,722 people overdosed in Illinois in 2018. That's just crazy. So, thank you. Next, we have some appointments to boards and commissions. And this does take a motion. And we have Gene Wilberg to the Park Board for a term ending in May 25, and Joe Gillespie to the Police Pension Fund Board, term ending May 22nd, or 22. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Transier and Peterson again. He's on the ball tonight. Very good. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Cherulis?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Closure?
Yes.
Breeders?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Coe?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Next, we have 2020-62, an ordinance extending ordinance 2020-30, approving outdoor restaurant sales and liquor service during the pandemic. I will ask for a motion in a second and then some discussion first by Kathy. Mr. Koch?
Second.
Second by Mr. Peterson. You got something to watch tonight, don't you?
No.
Okay. That's okay. That's okay. This is fantastic. Okay, Kathy, if you don't mind explaining this. Thank you.
All we did here is we took the ordinance that permitted outdoor dining with certain caveats, insurance, permission, review of the schematics to have the outdoor dining. That all remains in place. We just extended it, and correctly put as the mayor did, to the end of the pandemic, so that when phase five is complete within 90 days after that, these outdoor dining facilities would have to close. However, you will note that the ordinance says, unless otherwise repealed by the mayor, because if we find with bad weather that it is not in the best interest, it's repealed by the mayor and city council, if you find that it's not in the best interest of local businesses to continue outdoor dining, we can always suspend it. and are reinstituted. But the idea is to give business an opportunity to determine if this is a future change in our good weather entertainment.
Mr. Koch, or sorry, Kenneth.
I would like to say that I admire it because I know in the city you see a lot more of it, and I'm glad you did this, and I hope that it's here to stay.
Other comments, questions? Roll call, please. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to second what Ken said.
Okay. Excellent. Any other comments? I rushed the gun there. Roll call, please.
Yes. Giroulas?
Yeah.
Transier?
Yes.
Blocher?
Yes.
Breeders?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Lischewski?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. I know the businesses I have spoken to are very appreciative of the support of the city and the council and the staff, so I appreciate it very much as well. Thank you. Next, we have Microsoft licensing, and I don't remember the exact motion is here. Okay, I'm looking for a motion to approve an ordinance extending, no, that's the one we just did, sorry. Oops. Here we go. A motion to approve the Microsoft Enterprise Agreement for a 3-year term, $19,852 annually, for a total of $59,556.96, and authorize the city administrator to execute. Is there a motion?
Second.
Milchewski and Funkhauser. Okay, very nice. Bart, do you have anything you want to add on this?
Just this is our normal Microsoft Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook suite for all employees, so organization-wide. We do have the authority to authorize this on a 1-year agreement, but by doing it on a 3-year agreement, we actually save about $700 per year. So that's why we wanted to do it 3 years.
Mr. Koch.
I have a question. Does each employee have the access for like a certain number of machines? Like I know with Forever Now we have this, and I think you get 3 different machines. You do or at home, whatever.
Yeah, that is the case. I don't know how many machines it is off the top of my head, but download on your phone, a couple other things, home computers, and have access to the same functionality.
Other questions? Comments? Roll call, please.
Giroula?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Closure?
Yes.
Breeders?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Lischewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Now we go to Public Works. Is this just an FYI? I forget.
It does not require city council authorization. We did draft the motion, though.
It looks, so, I'm looking for a motion to approve a tree trimming, tree removal quote from Cox Landscaping in an amount not to exceed $14,325. Sorry, Joe, you should have read this. For tree trimming and tree removal in the Fox Hill Subdivision SSA area.
Second.
Well, you made the motion. I can't make it, I don't think.
Second.
Okay, so Eric, do you want to explain this one? Sorry, Joe. I know you're upset.
We've had all tree trimmings on the Fox Hill, and I've been noticing more and more each year that as they get bigger over, we've had some other small problems and some other light problems. So I walked through with the contractor that we have for the next 3 years, and we walked the entire subdivision and marked out trees and bushes that were that dying or have been dead for quite some time to be dead. And including trees that were overhanging the trail that have gotten so big that they're now lower than like 8 feet. We want to trim everything up, remove everything, grind out all the stumps, and then start over.
Questions or comments? Mr. Funkhauser.
So this is just the SSA area. This does not include the park area or the other park that we have. This is just related to that. So
just the SSA area.
Okay. have we been doing general tree and shrub maintenance with our landscape contractor over the years, or is this something that we have not been doing at all?
Yeah, it's what's minimal. It's only going to remove when necessary and trim when necessary. And what we found, like, for example, we went through this spring and there were 10 very mature bollards, both of share and most of it that make it through the year. And we had a lot of dieback on the pines, the high concrete pines that are just there that have 15 moss that weren't there last year. And a lot of it is just driven off.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we're doing the maintenance and we're not just trying to, you know, play catch up because we haven't done it. I know we're only doing this because we're going to be changing, or we're going to be increasing the fee a few bucks for the next few fiscal years as we go through. So we're not, we're okay this year, but 24 and 25, or is it 23?
I mean, it's 24, it raises, it goes up an additional 2%.
So that we can cover the cost that we're incurring. So this year,
yeah,
we're
going to without any budget amendments.
Okay. And that's why this is not something that's necessary for us to approve this. We're just doing this so that we know what's coming in the next
few months. Absolutely, we want to let you guys know what's coming.
Okay.
Anything else? Any other questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Cantier?
Yes.
Closure?
Yes.
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Coke?
Yes.
Milchewski?
Yes.
Von Kalter?
Yes.
Chirulas?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Mr. Plosher, did you have anything else?
Nothing else, sir.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. That was Elvis there. So, economic development?
No report.
Did you enjoy your walk the other day? Oh my God, yes. When I got home, I was exhausted. I rode it here again tonight, too. Public Safety Committee report, Seaver, anything?
No report tonight.
Thank you, Seaver. Admin Committee report, Mr. Funkhauser.
All right. Our first item that we have is the discussion, which is ongoing regarding the City Council procedural ordinances, or ordinance. Unless anyone has anything to discuss, we've had a couple more weeks. Kathy and I will be talking this week to kind of refine some of the things based on our initial conversations. So if you want, you can reach out to me or reach out to Kathy, but over the next couple of weeks, Kathy and I are going to talk and try to come up with some refinements on our initial points. So I think Frieders has some.
Oh, Mr. Frieders, thank you.
I had these comments prepared for last city council meeting, but we just kind of like plays through it, but I figured I'd just get these out so you know where I'm coming from. And I have them referencing the points that you had in the memo. This is the first time I've ever talked to the NASCAR, so I had to pull out the Taylor here a second.
You can pull it down if you want. No one's going to be offended.
Yeah,
well,
there you go. All right, regarding 1D, as far as if there's no mayor or pro tem available, I always thought that meant no meeting. So that would be where I was kind of lean to, and then regarding the proposed changes where it still exists, like in 1B and 1C, since they still exist under state law, I don't really see the need to mimic things that are already there, just for the sake of having them. Again, that could be something where Chris has a reason why there should be clarification in the document that I just want to put down that there already exists. I don't see any point of being duplicitous. As far as citizens' comments, that was 1G. I like the idea of allowing citizen comments on pretty much anything at the beginning of the meeting, and again at the end. We can call it the top rule, totally down with that. I didn't like the idea of limiting the citizens' comments to 1 hour, but I like the fact that it's tagged down with unless authorized by the city council, which we received an email this morning where the guy said, you know, what if there's another landfill discussion? We're not going to limit that by an hour. That would be ridiculous. I do like the idea of making sure that everybody's comments are at a maximum of 5 minutes, but then again, I understand people like me sometimes take 6 or 7 minutes to get their full point across. So the only thing that I'm totally heck yeah on is the idea of moving comments to the beginning of the meeting. And then if we do have meetings at the end, make sure they are enforced for executive session. Again, it's the Todd Rule 2.0. As far as 1H, anything's going to be contrary to state law, I don't want to make Yorkville an island, so I would prefer not to have anything in there that's going to be controversial. And as far as the state's concerned, not that they have, you know, time to kind of go after us, but I don't see the need to make new waves if they don't actually accomplish something, which I know you're all finding funny because I'm the one saying that. 1K, the idea that we can't vote on something unless we had the final document in our packet. I understand the reason behind that, but we've also had some situations where we did have to expedite something for the sake of whether it's a closing date or a tax date. So as long as we have a discussion on how else we might be able to expedite things, if in case we have a version of something where there is something more substantial than just a scrivener's error, I'd like there to be an option for you to have the authority to not push it forward, but be able to say, no, we have to vote on this now. So however procedurally we have to approach that, I just want to make sure we're not cutting up our nose just because we want it to be a certain way all the time.
I think if the language said preferred, which means there would be a message out to me, to staff, and to each other, that the council does not like to consider.
Right.
And that's the message you're trying to send. So rather than make it definitive, so that we can't deal with situations without getting an extra vote, I would suggest that we say it is preferred that no ordinance or...
Right, which is kind of how we currently, you know, operate, but again, it should be referenced that it's not our intention to throw things on the agenda that haven't been
correct.
Seen by everyone for
correct.
At least that full 4 days. All right, going to 1L. How items are added to a city council agenda. The idea that the mayor has to get approval from a committee chairman, I don't think that's necessary, seeing as you're the freaking mayor. You should be able to put things on the agenda. That's your authority. But then also to B, I would say yes. Just to go from 4 down to 3 so that any 3 all people put that on the agenda. That
that's the law.
Well, this takes it from 4 to 3.
It should have been always okay. Been.
So it mimics the actual
so there's
state.
No, right. There's no discussion there.
All right. And then 2E, regarding having committees that are only chaired by one person from each, not chairmen, but every committee should have one member of each ward in it. I would not want to have the word require and leave it as prefer. It's good in theory, but we might end up getting to a situation where there's, like, take Chris's professional background. You're a planner. If you were allowed to be on one, like, say, EDC, you weren't allowed to be on EDC because there was already somebody who'd been an alderman for 2 years, and you're coming in saying, no, like, you should have the ability, since you have a specialty in your professional life, to be able to apply that to your elected role. So I don't want to get into the situation where, no, procedurally, we can't do that because of this. So prefers would be great, but requires something a little bit too strict. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I think you hit everything I can help with.
Good. Thank you. I saw that book over there. I thought you were reading out of something that you bought, but you actually, that's your notebook.
Yes.
That's very impressive.
Nice.
Other comments? Mr. Peterson.
Was there a reason that citizen comments was after executive session? Did they have a reason originally for that?
I think we were just messing with
Kyle.
Well,
the landfill days. The landfill days, I think the meetings would go really long.
Well,
that was
amended after the landfill. I was one that drafted that amendment. We were visited by several people who I talked in 30 minutes in a speech, and the council was falling asleep by the time their actual agenda was presented. The situation was very difficult, and they had eliminated it. To have comments before executive session, I think, is pretty much the general practice, not to keep it till after general executive session. I do think that you might really want to consider, without a time limit, discussion on items on the agenda. That's the point. I mean, the most important thing you're doing on a given item are your action items. And to have various discussion on numerous items when you have to make a decision, it was determined that we wanted to hear, you wanted to hear, feedback on what you're going to have to take action on, and feedback on anything else later on to allow you to really focus on your work. I'm just telling you why it was separated. Why it was separated with the second group after executive session, it's what I was told right.
Other questions or comments? Thank you very much. Mr. Funkhouse, you have another item.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good comments.
Next one, make a motion to approve an ordinance authorizing the Ninth Amendment to the annual budget for fiscal year commencing on May 1st, 2019 and ending on April 30th, 2020, downtown TIF 2, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
It's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
By Milshewski. Who's going to, Rob, do you want to explain this? Are you out there? Rob, I don't want you to fall asleep at home while we're having a meeting. Now, you can pay attention and explain this, please.
I appreciate that, sir. Basically, we need to amend the downtown TIF 2 budget to reflect the BCJ restoration agreement that council committed to last fall, which caused the budget to go over by about $60,000, primarily to the incentive payments. So I'm presenting this tonight to amend the budget so that we can avoid
And is this the final amendment for the budget from the previous year?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Questions or comments from the council? Mr. Frieders.
So on page 142, we've got two kind of trigger points for payouts. So can we assume that we've got a new roof, there's no investment in lead-based paint's been remediated?
Yeah, that has been completed and we've paid that out.
Other questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Fulcher?
Yes.
Frieders?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Milshewski? Yes. Funkhauser?
Yes.
Chirulas?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Anything else, Mr. Funkhauser?
That would be it.
Thank you. Park Board. I don't know if we have a report from the park board, but Mr. Evans, I'm waiting for a photo op. Do you have anything exciting you want to tell us?
The Chattanooga Park Playground is open to the public, so we're very excited about it. Blue Dot started to get ready for a great flip. Hopefully we'll have that done in a couple weeks.
And I've seen Lisa on the slide many times.
No, the swings are my favorite.
Oh, the swings. Okay, swing slides. So that turned out awesome. Thank you. And tell Scott, thank you. And I know he'll probably just make a smirk or something, but I am appreciative of the work he does. Tell him that.
All of our staff did a great job getting that up.
Yes, thank you. Excellent.
Thank you.
Anything else from the park board I need to be aware of?
No report, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. Planning and Zoning Commission. Christy, was there anything? Christy? No report. Thank you. Okay. Darn it, my glasses always fog up. Ugh. City Council report. Any City Council members have anything for us tonight? Mr. Frieders.
All right.
Take it down again. That's fine.
I have a couple updates on the National Suicide Prevention and Awareness Month proclamation.
Fantastic.
Granted, I have not sent out any further outreach emails for obvious reasons. But just in the last week, we've had some adoptions from the Village of Westmont, the City of Schaumburg, the Village of Drosco, the Town of Cicero, Huntington, New York, Henderson, Nevada, Deer Park, Illinois, and LaGrange Park, Illinois. This morning, I was able to attend the Cicero adoption of the Hens Grant. And even though there are a whole lot of reasons why sometimes we feel it's not important to talk about mental health and suicide prevention, I can tell you just in the conversations I've had in the last 4 days, there's a whole lot of miserable people out there. And even though it doesn't seem as important, especially with me trying to send out as many emails in 2018 when I didn't have as many things going on in my life as I do right now, I'm finding that the ancient
art of just having a conversation with people is difficult because either you're not doing it in person or you're doing it in person and you're aware of that freaking mask and it terrifies you because you're close to someone. Like, I will admit, those people walked in front of my desk and I had to do one of these because I'm a little freaked out by the people, which, if I'm being honest, it's not just the media, it's the fact that I have no idea where real information is coming from. So the best thing I can do is take care of myself, my body, my wife, my kids, and my family, and my business. So in just the conversations I've had in the last 4 days, I've realized that a lot of people have not only self-isolated to the point where they don't know how to interact with people, whether it's in the drive-thru, or at a restaurant, or in the meeting. But I'm also learning that rather than actually trying to respect the fact that they're uncomfortable, we're trying to find new inventive ways of denying the fact that we're all going through a collective trauma that none of us have ever experienced. And so rather than me trying to tell you how I'm dealing with it, I want to tell you as humans that it is okay to feel incredibly awkward everywhere right now. Because if you don't, you either might have had one too many cocktails before you went out in public, or you're denying things, and that's okay. So like the t-shirt that I normally wear today says Black Lives Matter, because I'm a little upset about what's going on in Kenosha, Wisconsin right now. But I will tell you, it's okay not to be okay. Everything is, for lack of a better term, completely screwed up. Just try your best. And I know that this is a proclamation hell-bent on getting people to talk about suicide, but the thing that I'm learning more and more about is that it's not just suicide, it's not just mental health, it's the stigma around talking about things that are uncomfortable. You don't have to have an opinion on everything. I learned by having a strong opinion on a few things, some people might find me a little abrasive. I'm okay with that. I am who I am, I'm not afraid of myself. But what I am afraid of is when people take my opinion of something, my personally held, yet sometimes professionally held opinion on something, and they attempt to either intimidate or attempt to influence my particular opinions through, whether you want to call it bullying or harassment, but I'll just let you know, I have friends with guns. There's one of them sitting right over there. So I don't take kindly to intimidation. I don't take kindly to people sending me nasty messages because of my particular political opinions or whatever it may be. But I want to remind you that it's okay not to be okay. It's okay to be confused. It's okay to be angry. But it is not okay to attack someone's opinion or the fact that they hold a firm belief in something. Take care of yourself, and then you can talk about somebody else. But even then, why waste the breath? I've actually started using an inhaler because I now have an allergy-induced asthma problem. And not with wearing masks, it freaks me out. But guess what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to not wear my mask, and I'm not going to not be upfront with the fact that everything is screwed up right now. So, as I said, just the conversations I've had in the last 4 days with representatives from around the state and a few outside of the state, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. If 2020 has given us any indication, the last thing you would expect is about to happen. That being said, wear your freaking mask, wash your freaking hands, leave people alone. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Frieders. Any other members of the City Council have anything tonight? I saw your hand, Joel, unscrewing that on my video screen, and I thought it was somebody else waving their hand to speak. Okay, City Clerk's report.
No report.
Community and liaison reports. I have none. Do you have any? Does anyone else have any? We'll move on. Staff report?
No reports.
No reports. Mayor's report continued. That's what the apostrophe is, means, continued there. Okay, we have number 2020-65. Is there a motion to approve ordinance approving a settlement agreement by and among the United City of Yorkville, Illinois, Green Organics, Inc., Bristol Ventures, LLC, and Midwest Materials Management, LLC.
So moved.
And Mr. Frieders, is there a second? By Ms. Milshewski. Are there any questions or comments? Mr. Frieders.
As someone who has lived not only in the guilt that I feel for being excited about this particular type of business coming into Yorkville and then almost immediately regretting the fact that not only can I smell it and taste it, but over the last 2 or 3 years we've had a number of incidents of fires, and the smell of burning compost is a lot more intense than just regular compost. And the last time that I was at Raging Waves was one of the times when there was a visible fire. So all of that being said, and everything that Todd said when we started I know that I always remember their portion being relatively tiny and not big enough to kind of withstand the type of space needs that they have for this lettering business. But can you clarify just for our sake?
Yeah, so the county and the city property are almost the same size. I think the county property is actually larger than the city property. The county property, I want to say, is like 10 to 15 acres, and the city property is about 10. So this is a state-regulated and state-permitted composting or land application or whatever it is, you know, operation. So the approvals by the city and the county, respectively, are only having to do with land use. So the city's property, which is not owned by the city, it's owned by a private entity, we granted them a land use to be able to do this operation, is mutually exclusive of what the county does. So the county can, approve a permit to extend our operation. They can close it down through a land use action. We can do the same on our end. So the litigation and land use operation and decisions that we've made are exclusive of anything that the county does. So that's why there wasn't a coordinated effort, because we could say the city's property cannot be operated on after 2023, which is what the settlement agreement says. And the county could say, well, we're going to extend it from 2023 onwards. So those are two different decisions. You can't really bind either governing board with a future decision other than through the settlement agreement. You can bind your own.
So does that mean that basically once we go through with this settlement agreement, we have an agreement in place, the county can choose whether or not to do what they like, but we don't really have any impact on the decisions that they make?
That's correct, yes. They can do that, and they could also decide to say, that the composting operation can continue on acreage outside of the county's existing property. So they could say, instead of 15 acres, it ends up being 20 acres or 25 acres, or it's going to be 5 acres, but it's going to be a mile less. They have their own autonomy to be able to make those land use decisions as do we.
So if we, when we make sure that this agreement goes through, and let's just say, worst case scenario, the county agrees to allow them to extend or expand, whatever that might be, whatever that looks like or smells like, do we then have the same ability to complain, or are we now up a sneaky creek without a paddle, or how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, anybody can file complaints or request action from either government entity that controls or that has regulations on the land that the facility is operating on. So state can be contacted, the county can be contacted for the county jurisdiction property, and then the city can be contacted for the city jurisdiction property. So those things are kind of two parallel paths, but they are separate.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments? Mr. Transier.
The county's not a party to this lawsuit, correct?
That is correct.
So anything that we agree upon with the opposing party has no impact on the county whatsoever.
That's correct.
If the county was dragged into litigation substantially similar to this, and we weren't a party, their settlement agreement or whatever judgment the court would impose to resolve that would have no bearing on how we handle the problem.
Correct.
That both the county's use permit and what the city's agreed to extend for our portion of this property are set to expire possibly at the same time? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I just want to make sure.
Yeah, ours through settlement agreement and court order, an eventual court order, and then the county's through a normal land use decision making process.
Other questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Breeders?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Eljewski?
Yes.
Buckhauser?
Yes.
Chirulas?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Blocher?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you all. I know that's been a long process, so I appreciate your support. Next item is a budget update. And is Rob going to do this or you, Bart?
I'm going to defer to Rob if he can hear me.
Rob, can you hear him?
I sure can hear him.
Excellent. And you have some good news, I think, don't you?
Yeah, we got income tax and both use tax and last week. Both
offset the increase we experienced in May of $190. So clearly the IML is grabbing income tax of $97 per capita, which will put it right at $1.85 million, which is about $50,000, but about $100,000 better, would assume in the worst case scenario, which would be about $75,000. Local use came in last month at about $71,000, which is 43% increase from last August. IMLs in local use finished at $35.50 per capita, which is about $675,000, which is actually right on budget, but $675,000 change. And then IFT continues to be down the last 4 months. It's been tracking about 25% below this year. So the budget is about $472,000. Right now, according to the IML,
questions or comments? That's good news. Again, it's still going to be a challenge, but staff's doing a great job, and the aldermen have too, and I appreciate that. But it's, knock on wood, not as bad as we thought it might be. So that's a good thing. And again, what we've done with the businesses has really helped too. So thank you. Okay. Any additional business? Jackie.
I have a question. Hopefully Eric can hear me. On Main Street, when the trees went down,
I believe we are. Eric, the trees on East Main Street, is that our responsibility to finish cutting them down, or is that somebody else's? No, you're muted.
Yeah, I'm muted.
You're good. No, now you're muted. You're muted. You were muted, and then you, yeah, you're, now you're good.
All right, sorry about that. They are our trees. We have been a bit of proof there that they're just waiting for combat. They have to actually shut the power off because it's so close to the power line. And we cannot get a date out of combat. They're still working on replacing poles that were damaged during the storm a couple weeks ago. So we'll put that back out there and they'll get up and then cut the power off so we can have it removed.
Is it like three trees affected, it looks like? I know that one.
Is it three trees or how many?
It's three trees and four that will be gone. The one that is fixed by them is just resting on a tree that took a severe fall, and there's a tree that's back to that one that also is knocked over into a fourth tree.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
Excellent. Any other additional business? So here, look at, we have citizen comments before executive session tonight.
There you go.
Excellent. Any other citizen comments? Well, Todd, we haven't seen you in ages. Please state your name for the record.
Todd from Larry Yorkville. Briefly, a little history lesson on the 30-minute comments. I would call that the Jesus rule. So we all got a history lesson. At length, and about revolution and other
constitution.
And remember, this is not a debate, not a discussion. You're out of order there.
I thought I would throw that in. So anyway, but I can other active citizen of other countries. On the TIF and the old jail, I would encourage you, if you haven't been by there, to drive by there. You can see the progress that's being made on the outside. It's starting to look like a renovated historical building. And the European Historic Preservation Society is very happy with the progress that's being made. And there's progress being made over there every day. So other than that, that's all I have.
Thank you very much. Now, we do have a need for executive session. Unless y'all tell me no, then that's fine. or the majority of it could tell me no, I guess. However, I'm looking for an executive session motion for the discussion of minutes of meetings lawfully closed under the Open Meetings Act, for litigation when an action against, affecting, or on behalf of the particular public body has been filed and is pending, or when an action is probable or imminent, for the purchase or lease of real property for the use of the public body, for collective negotiating matters between the public body and its employers or the representatives, and number five, which is now listed, to tell the mayor he's just doing a damn good job. Is there a motion for at least four? At least four of those.
On the first four.
Amend the motion.
On the first four, I heard a motion by Mr. Plocher. Is there a second?
Second.
By, was that Peterson or Koch? Peterson. All right, the JPs are having it tonight. Woohoo! Okay, this does require a roll call, as does everything tonight.
Koch?
Yes. Yes.
Tarula?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Closer?
Yes.
Creators?
There's five already.
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Oh, well.
For the record, before we fully leave, we are going to close down the Zoom meeting. We don't expect to take any action after the executive session. So the room will be opened back up to the Zoom meeting. I will not be.
Excellent. And then Seaver, we'll just do him on speakerphone?
Yeah, Seaver, if you want to participate, you can call my cell phone and I can put you on speakerphone.
Seaver, are
you there? Did he? Seaver, are you still there?
He's there.
Seaver, if you want to participate in the executive session, can you call myself?
I'm here. I'm here. Okay.
So we are, we're not adjourning. We are going into executive session, and then we'll adjourn afterwards. And again, there will be no action after executive session other than adjournment. Okay.
Close it down.
Thank you all for participating. I gotta hit the head.